In your bulletin, you'll see an outline that doesn't match what I'm going to be preaching, so. This is Father's Day, so we're going to be looking at a Father's Day message rather than, but they are related in somewhat because this scripture has abide, and that's what we've been talking about out of the epistle of John, and we'll go back to that next week. What you see in your bulletin today will be next week. Today, we're going to look at a message on Father's Day, and the text is taken from John 14. Of course, we know in the first six verses, Jesus is comforting the disciples, telling them that to let them not their heart be troubled. In verse 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, or through me. And verse 7 picks up from there, where Philip had a question. And I want to pay close attention to verse 10, because it talks about the Father and the Son's relationship with each other. So, follow along with me, beginning with verse 7 of John chapter 14. Verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And then Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to Philip, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And then verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now looking at this passage of Scripture, you can see where Jesus has a close relationship with the Father. In verse 10, it says, I don't do anything on my own initiative. So that talks about relying upon the Father. Even though Jesus was divine and he had a human nature, still he sought the Father's will in everything that he did through prayer and just pure obedience on his part. So as I was thinking about the message today with our fathers, and happy Father's Day again, and enjoy this day. You're the best, right? Fathers are the best in what they do in raising children and being godly spiritual leaders. And when you're looking at the Father and the Son, it's a good example for us as fathers to follow as well. We shouldn't do anything on our initiative as fathers or our men. So if Jesus relied upon the Father and didn't do anything without going to him asking, how much more that we as fathers need to rely upon our Heavenly Father. And when we are wanting to or needing to live according to the way the Son did, as he set the example for us. So, as we come to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 7 through 14, we are reminded of the love between the Father and the Son, and their love wins. It's a great love. God love always wins. So think about that always. Always. We have a Father in heaven who gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, as a gift of love. And that was a gift of life as well, eternal life. And looking back at Jesus and him coming into this world, he came for a purpose. And he completed that purpose. And he always relied upon the Father. So we can be much better fathers if we rely upon the Heavenly Father as our ultimate. He is our ultimate Father, Creator. And if we look at Jesus' example that he followed, it would make our responsibilities much easier. It certainly would. So I want us to look at these verses here in chapter 14 this morning and see how John stresses here and relates the topic of Father's Day. Now, first of all, think about God the Father's relationship with Jesus, his Son. See, our Father in heaven had a big plan, an ultimate plan for Jesus. And when you think about that from the very beginning of time, when you read in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, from the very foundations of the world, God sent his Son. And he chose us. And he also justified us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit having a part of that in verse 13, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. So those plans have been revealed in us through the Scripture. And Jesus has followed the Father's Son's plan to the very letter. He has followed them, even when it cost him his life. Now, we're living sacrifices, so it doesn't cost us our life like it did Jesus, because when Jesus died, he died once and for all for everyone. So I propose to you that we have a father-son relationship here that is a great example of all the father and child relationship, and with all, I would say, include parent-child relationship. You know, mothers have a big part in raising children and making important decisions as well. And many of the times the responsibility falls on the mother when the father is not able to be with children all the time. But it is a partnership, father and mother, husband, wife, parents. It's a relationship that we establish early in life that we might guide and direct our children in the ways that they should go. Now, I'm always amazed each year as, you know, I'm a camp and so forth and other leaders, but, you know, there's certain kids there, they just take to you. They want to hang around you. They want to sit with you. They want to eat with you. I had a couple little girls that said, Pastor Mike, can we eat with you today? Well, they said that every day. I said, sure, you can sit down. And then had the boys as well to gather around and want to sit with me and eat. And guess what? It's hard for me to eat because they want to talk all the time. Don't they, Beth? Yeah. I'm always the last one to go through the line because I always let the kids go first and get their train to eat. And they're sitting there just looking at me, staring, wanting to talk while I'm trying to eat and so forth. And then they're up and gone, and, you know, here we adults are still there eating when they're up and gone and going, getting ready for their activities and so forth. But it's amazing that the kids, they're looking. They want that fatherly and motherly parent. They desire to have that relationship, And you see that when they come to camp, and a lot of kids don't get that attention, I think, at home. And of course, Marty understands there was a little boy that he was a handful for everybody. So, and a lot of times they just don't get that attention. So when we have that opportunity in our own families to make a difference and lead our children, it helps us appreciate those that don't. And we should always take a privilege and responsibility in reading the scriptures to understand how the Father and the Son had such a relationship that we want to mimic it. We want to follow it to the letter, as Christ followed the Father's to the letter on his obedience to him. So, fathers who are here today, let me ask, what plan do you have for your children? And I know many of you say, well, my children are already grown out of the house and so forth. But you have grandchildren, you have other children. Many of you are mentors to children that are not your own and so forth. And that's great. That's good, because kids need that. And how are you revealing those plans and preparing your children to follow them, follow your plans? Maybe we have to back up a bit and ask some more basic questions. Are fathers supposed to do this? Are we as men supposed to do this? Are parents supposed to have plans for their children today? Or are we just supposed to bring children into this world and let them go wherever they want to go and do whatever they want to do and be led by the world's choices? Are we just supposed to provide for them so that they can go and find out who they are and follow their own hearts and do whatever they find fulfilling? Well, is that the example that God gives? Not at all, is it? It's not. That's not at all. We do have a responsibility. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, Paul says, bring up your children with the discipline and instructions that comes from the Lord. You see, Jesus followed that to the letter. And then in Proverbs 22:6, we all know this particular verse in the Old Testament. Direct, this New Living Translation, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Now, sometimes children do stray and leave it at a younger age, but the scripture says if it's in their heart and it's deep rooted and they have been taught that throughout their life, they may stray away, they might get off course a little bit, but when they're older and like the prodigal son, when they come to their senses, or when we all come to our senses, then we come back and we remember this is deep rooted within our hearts and mind, and we are to follow that as well, just like Jesus did. So I want to clarify what I'm saying here. God the Father had plans for Jesus Christ from the very beginning. He did, and he followed that. And these plans were revealed and recorded in scriptures, and Jesus executed the plan right. He was good at what he did. And his plan works, and it will work today in our lives if we will follow his plan. Sometimes we arrive or try to derive our own plan, but it will not work as well as God's plan. It worked perfectly for Jesus Christ, and Christ was obedient all the way to the cross. And then after the cross, he taught, he had compassion, he showed love, and that love is to pass through our lives on into the generations of who we are raising, not only our kids, but anyone that we have an opportunity to make a difference and impact within their lives. You can see that at camp. So many of those kids are starving for love and attention and so forth, and we have a whole week to show them and direct them in that way. So What if God the Father had modeled his fathering after our modern concept of individually and freedom of expression and self-discovery and personality fulfillment? What might Jesus' life have looked like if he had to follow that, like our modern day world? If Jesus had only had his own personal will to follow, he would not have gone to the cross, would he? And Jesus said, if this cup will pass, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus was obedient all the way to the cross. So he himself said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Now, every time that we have a question in our mind, and it needs to be answered either by ourselves or brought to the attention of the Father, not my will, but your will be done. In our prayers, it should always be, not my will, but your will be done, Heavenly Father. Now, we should pray that. And I try to pray, well, I do most of the time pray all my prayers that way. I'm praying, not my will, Father, but your will be done. Because, we know what we'd like to see done a lot of times, but we don't know what God's purpose and plan is for everybody else. And sometimes we pray for, so we need to ask his will to be done anyway, always, even in our own lives as well, because it will work out for the best, because God knows the best. So whose will is Jesus following here? His own or his Father's? Whose plan is Jesus keeping? Well, he kept his Father's plan. See, Jesus didn't come here to fulfill himself. Jesus came here as the only begotten Son who the Father said at his baptism, this is my beloved Son who I'm well pleased. Now, did your Father say that to you when he was young? You're my Son and I'm well pleased with you. Boy, that's music to your ears if you hear that and when you hear that. When a father says, I'm so proud of you. It does something for a child. And I know the Son, Jesus Christ, it was good for him to hear that the Heavenly Father was pleased with him. And he would have been because he was always obedient in everything he done. And on the Mountain of Transfiguration, again, the Father said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. And as young people grow up under the instructions of the Word of God, when they get older, we can say that. This is a godly person. This person is following God. Listen to them. Listen to their teaching. Listen to their guidance and so forth and so on. If we could hear that day after day after day, how great our nation would be. How great would our leaders be in our government, in our military and so forth, if they had got this kind of teaching and encouragement from the fathers all the way up, and they was obedient as well in their lives. Wouldn't it be good? Say, this is my Son. Listen to his instructions. He will lead you right. And this is what the Heavenly Father is saying about his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to him. Because Peter and John, they were at the Transfiguration, and they was wanting to build temples. They were wanting to do all of this. And the Heavenly Father said, it's not about that. Listen to Jesus. He's going to teach you what this is all about. Transfiguration and everything that God, Jesus had taught all the way through the ministry while he had his disciples and teaching others, the multitudes of people that he had compassion for to follow his guidance. So, you see, God the Father had entrusted all these things to Jesus Christ. Why? Why did he do that? Because he was faithful as a son, and Jesus followed the will of the Father to the letter. See, Jesus loves his Father and is completely in submission of his Father and walks in perfect step with his Father's will. See, Jesus performed a plan. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his works." And he did that to the T. He said that on a cross when he said, "It is finished. It is finished." When our task on work is on this earth is done, may we be able to say that. You know, the work that God had laid upon my heart, the things that he has entrusted in me in my life. As Paul said to Timothy, guard everything that you've been taught. Trust in me and follow my leadership, as Paul was saying to Timothy. And he did that to the T, to the letter. And Jesus said, you know, my food is to do the will of the Father. Now, if every child would say that, you know, my responsibility is to follow the godly leadership of my mother and my father. What a great nation we would live in. See, young people, whose will are you following today? Who are you following today? And hopefully you're following the leadership of your godly parents, and hopefully the impact that they've made on your life in helping you make good decisions will follow you all the way through life. That's my prayer. And then secondly, the Father is heaven is perfect in all ways. Now, he knows his Son perfectly and fully. See, he loves Jesus, his only begotten Son, and gives him authority in heaven and earth. Fathers, here today, how well do you know your children? How well do you know them? I hear some chuckling going. Yeah, we know them, don't we? We know them while they're around us and so forth, and we entrusted what we have taught them throughout the years that they will follow that even as they move on into their life after graduation and raising their own families and so forth. How well do you know their hearts and their minds? And we do want to know that. What if you knew them so well you could give them life plans and that would bring them to the very highest and the very best they could ever hope to achieve? See, we might look like each of, well, what I'm trying to say here, I guess, what might that look like of each one of our children if we have taught them and know their hearts and their minds to the fullest? Then we know that they will follow according to godly principles. So, if you could know, would you do what you would have done and taught them if you knew they were going to turn out the way they did? If you would you have done anything different? So, think about this with me. What kind of parent-child relationship can you imagine from the Bible? What kind of honor are children called to have about their parents? What kind of nourishment and admonition are parents called to give their children? Well, I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, where it says, "Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That is a passage of scripture that Paul, as he was teaching the churches that he established and so forth, you know, he knew that the basis would start right there with children. The importance of raising them up so they would be good church leaders, they would be good leaders in the society, they would be good leaders as God move them on into greater responsibilities within and God's kingdom. So when we look at this verse, you know, it applies to every one of us. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's KJV. But the understanding and the knowledge of the Word of God. So, what the Bible shows us is that God not only had a plan for Jesus, God the Father had a plan for every one of us as well. And that's why He has given us the Word of God as a prime example for us to follow. See, God, the Heavenly Father, wants every one of us to become His children and follow His plan for our lives. Now, as dads here on earth, you and I need to know that God, you know, read His plan for our lives, and we need to walk in it first so that we can help our children come to know the plan for their lives and walk in it as well. So, fathers and parents, God promises to give us wisdom from His Word and prayer as you seek His will for your lives along with your children. And if we are willing to do that, God's going to bless tremendously. Now, in closing, our Heavenly Father gave us the perfect gift. The perfect gift is His Son, the perfect gift of salvation, and it is our responsibility to teach our kids and lead them in that direction. I had so many children that came forward. Some came for salvation, some came for prayer, and so many of them had so many concerns, and they asked, will you pray for my mom? Will you pray for my dad? You know, the things that we experienced at camp, the messages that the kids heard, the parents needed to hear them as well, for those kids that really looking for parental guidance for their life. And my heart bleeds for them and all of us at camp as we looked at those children, knowing that they was going back, you know, home. And they were in a perfect place, a perfect setting. They was getting fed the Word of God, and many of them will not see or darken the doors of a church until they come back to camp next year. But I would ask them, where do you go to church? Do you have a church home? No, we don't go. None of my family goes. So, hopefully, the impact that we make on these children that week, in some way, God will protect them and through prayers find them a place where they can be a part and learn about Jesus. That's my hope and my prayer. You see, our Heavenly Father gave us a perfect gift. He gave us Jesus Christ. And that's why John 14 says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He reveals God's plan for us. And in return, we need to pass that on to our younger generation. See, if we father our children as God demonstrates us, see, we will teach our children His plan for their lives and help them follow it. And if we do that, we will show them how to walk in the plan by walking in it ourselves and calling them or leading them to follow as well. The scriptures gives us so much guidance as far as our own personal life, how to be godly fathers, godly parents, godly Christians. You know, just don't fall on fathers or mothers. It falls on us as a church as well, to do all that we can to lead our children, young people, adults as well, in a path in which it will add to the kingdom of God. Oh, that's what keeps me going back to camp every year, year after year after year, being able to make a difference. Maybe those that don't get to see or talk about Jesus, they get to do it there. And they want to hear it. They want to hear that message. They want to know that they have a purpose. They want to know they have a will to follow and love Jesus just like he loves them. That's what we teach them. Jesus loves you. This, and we show it to them. And fathers, you can set an example, and you are an example. And God bless you, and have a great day. And we have awesome responsibility to carry out God's plan as we follow the plan that Jesus followed, and he set the example for each one of us. What a great plan God had from the very beginning of time. And it's ours. All we got to do is follow it. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that your message speaks to every one of us. That the intent of it is to make us to grow in the nurture and understanding of your word. That we might be able to pass it along. What a great influence that would be. What a great influence that is to our community, our nation. As you have given us your word. And we thank you, Lord, that this morning, the work of your Holy Spirit, the power of your Holy Spirit is at work and real and alive. And I pray this morning, if there's any decision, maybe someone here that doesn't know you personally as their Savior, pray this morning to take that step. Come forward and receive you, Lord, as Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Whatever other decision, maybe renewal, a relationship with you. And we had some of those this week of young people with tender hearts, and that's what it takes. We've got to just open up our heart, be willing to step out, unashamed of the gospel, unashamed that we're taking a stand for you. Lord, let your will be done in this service today, in this invitation. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Let us stand as we sing.